Amen. I'm so thankful for the things that have gone before. It's been my rich blessing to be with you today. As Brother Jonah was preaching about the Word of God, my mind, and Brother Jonah, I don't attempt to try to add anything to anything that you said, but you stirred my mind, and I'll just read this one verse and tell you a quick story, and then I'll get quickly into what's on my mind for today. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Apostle Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica, and he says, "For this cause, in verse 13, we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in them that believe." I had some students come to me in January, and they were all excited about the new year. They were going to read the Bible all the way through. "Mr. Hadaway, I'm gonna start reading my Bible again. I got off track." And I said, "Good." I said, "Where are you going to start?" Some said Genesis and some said Matthew. I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll start with you, and we'll read through it together." And this is what I told him. I said, "If you do, you won't be sorry. You will not regret it. That's one thing that you know that you will not regret. Why? Because it effectually worketh in them that believe." The Word of God works, and I'm thankful that we've been reminded of that this afternoon. If you have your scripture and would like to turn with us this afternoon, I'd like to look very quickly at expression found in Revelation chapter 19. And Brother Tim, I don't know how it is with you, but anytime I have a visiting preacher that comes to the church that I pastor and say, "I'd like to speak to you from the book of Revelation," I get a little nervous. What in this world? What's he going to come up with next? This is a very simple expression. I had a student one year, several years ago. Her name was Amanda, and I taught a reading class at that time, and she would go to the media center, and she would get a book, and she would come back, and she would always read the last few pages of the book. And I said, "Amanda, what are you doing? You're ruining the whole thing." And she said, "No, Mr. Hadaway." She said, "I like to read the end of the book first, because that lets me know if I want to take the time to read the rest of it." I said, "Okay, whatever works. I want to read to you from the end of the book, just a little bit from the end of the book. Because at the end of the book, we find the motivation to start from the beginning and read all the way through." Revelation chapter 9, there's an expression found in verse 6. The Apostle John says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth." The Apostle John describes this voice, this sound, as a great multitude, as the voice of many waters. How many is going to be in heaven? The Bible tells us that the number that is going to be in heaven is a number that is innumerable as the stars in heaven and as the sands on the seashore. Now, that doesn't mean if you and I could possibly number all of the stars in heaven, we would figure out how many people are going to be in heaven. It's innumerable. I'll tell you what you do. Go out on a clear Alabama night and put a circle right there and try to count those stars right there in the circle. Or go to the beach this summer. It's coming summertime. Teachers and students are about to say hallelujah. You go to the beach this summer and you pick up one scoop of sand and start counting. And then when you're done, put that in a bucket and pick up another scoop and start counting. The Bible tells you and I that as innumerable, as futile as that would be to count the sands of the seashore, so is innumerable as those in heaven. I'm thankful to tell you that this afternoon, that there are going to be far more in heaven with Christ than in a devil's hell for eternity. Jesus wins, doesn't he, at the end? The Bible tells and describes where the wicked will go is as a lake of fire. Meanwhile, what the Bible describes what's in heaven is as a sea of glass. Now, what's bigger, a lake or a sea? I like that. The Apostle John described this as the voice of many waters, as great thunderings. And I thought about, you know, what would it be? How could I describe this, or how could I illustrate this? It's coming also, it won't be long. College football season's coming around. We won't talk about it a whole lot. But I've never been to a game in Alabama. But I have heard the roar of the crowd. It is the voice of many waters. I mean, it's like Niagara Falls. I've never been to Niagara Falls either, but it is overcoming. I'm telling you about all these things I have experience with that I don't have experience with. But I'll tell you the difference between that noise in the stadium, the noise in the stadium, and the noise at Niagara Falls is unintelligible. It's a noise. This isn't a noise. This is a voice. This is the sound. Amen. I heard, as it were, the voice, unison. It's kind of like a good old Baptist song service on steroids. Times a thousand, right? I use that term in my classroom. It's kind of like a good old Baptist song service times a million. That's not an unintelligible noise. We sing in unison, but we're different voices, but we sing as one. And this is what that voice in heaven, this innumerable voice, says. Hallelujah. The word hallelujah simply means praise the Lord. Alleluia. Praise the Lord. And sometimes in Scripture, it is used as just a general exclamation, like 3 weeks from yesterday. 3 weeks from yesterday, there's going to be a whole bunch of teachers in Cochran, Georgia saying, hallelujah. The summer is here. It can also be used, though, it is used as not only an exclamation of praise the Lord, but it sometimes is used as an imperative. Praise the Lord. That's our jobs, isn't it? Our jobs as preachers of the gospel is to encourage God's people to praise the Lord. Why? Because we have a lot to praise God about. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's an exclamation and it's an imperative. It is the goal of the church. It is the job of the ministry. And I'll go a step further than that. It is the goal of our everyday lives, that our everyday lives would be, hallelujah, praise God in my everyday life. Listen to what he says here quickly. He says, hallelujah. Why? And he tells us, for, there's a reason, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now the word Lord here, sometimes we read the word Lord and it's in all caps, and we recognize that as being Jehovah. Lord, L-O-R, capital L, capital O. The Lord here is not that way. It's just it's a general term for a ruler, somebody in authority. And what my illustration for that is sometimes when the president, whoever he is, has a press conference and he stands before the podium and he says whatever he's going to say, and then he takes questions from the reporters. All of them will say, Mr. President. Mr. President, whether they like him or not, most of them would rather not call him Mr. President. They would rather think of something else to call him. But they call him Mr. President. Why? Because that is the title that he deserves as his office of the President of the United States. And I tell my students all the time, I say, listen, we can agree or disagree with whoever the President is, but it's not allowed to disrespect the office. You can agree or disagree with policy of whoever president that you want to pick up. But in this classroom, we're not going to disrespect the office because that office deserves some respect from us. Mr. President, and the word here is Lord. It is ruler. It is a person in authority. Aren't you glad that God is in authority? Aren't you glad that he is the Lord? That he is not just a Lord, but he is the Lord of all lords. Hallelujah. He's the Lord. He's in charge. One of my students said, our God, we believe that our God is large and he's in charge. And I said, amen to that. He's the ruler. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. The Lord God. I like that term God. Because it reminds me of the descriptions that is given to God in the Scripture for us. For example, the Scripture tells us that he is a God of all mercy. Aren't you glad God is a God of all mercy? Amen. He's a God of all grace. Aren't you glad God is a God of all, not just saving grace, providential grace. I need his grace today, and I'm going to need his grace this afternoon, driving home from Alabama to Cochran, Georgia. I'm going to need his grace in the morning to try to preach to my folks at Bay Springs, and I'm going to need his grace Monday morning when I greet them, a bunch of knotheads that I'm going to see Monday morning. I'm going to need his grace. I need his grace not only eternally, I need it every day. He's the God of all mercy. He's the God of all grace. He's the God of all comfort. Aren't you glad that God is the God of all comfort? He's a benevolent God. He's a loving God. You know, history is riddled with authoritarian rulers whose names are not worthy to be spoken from this pulpit, but you can listen, you can think of some on your own. History is riddled with authoritarian rulers who were not good. But they were rulers. They were sovereign in their own neck of the woods, in their area of the world. But they weren't, there's nothing good about them. God, the Lord, is the ruler of all. And not only is he the ruler of all, he's good.
Amen.
That's a simple thought, but I love it. He's good. He's benevolent. He's gracious. He's patient. Aren't you glad that God is patient? Good grief. Aren't you glad that God is a compassionate?
Yes.
Hallelujah about your God today. You know, not everybody's God, not everybody's view of God is that. There are other religions in the world that don't teach that their little g God, who does not exist, by the way. You know, Allah does not exist. You know that, right? There's no such thing as Allah. Allah only exists in the minds of the people that believe in Allah. Allah's not really, it's not God on this side and Allah on this side. There is no Allah. But some people's view of the God that they believe in is not a very, you wouldn't want him as a neighbor, right? How wonderfully different is the God that you and I believe in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord that he's good and he's kind and he's benevolent and he's patient and he's long-suffering. So it gets a little better. Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent. Theological terminology, omnipotent. I know you know what that means. All powerful. There has never been a ruler in the world who has actually been all powerful. They wield some authority in their areas of the world, in the countries, in the political makeups where they are, but there has never been a leader, a ruler, an authoritarian who is all powerful. I think about the time Brother Jonah, in Brother Jonah's area this morning, in Matthew 18, when three men approached Abraham and they were to tell him that God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember that story. And as two men go to Sodom and Gomorrah to do that work, the Bible says that that Abraham spoke with the Lord. And the Lord renewed this promise about this son that he had been promising him for years. And the Bible says that Sarah was outside the tent and she laughed within herself. And God said to Abraham, "Why is Sarah laughing?" Abraham says, and then he questioned, and Sarah said, "I didn't laugh." And God said, "Oh, but you did." You know, that's sobering. That God knows what goes on the inside.
Right.
It's sobering, but it's not scary.
Right.
Because he is a God of love and forgiveness. He knows our uprisings and he knows our down cities. He knows our thoughts from afar off. He knows your doubts. He knows your disbeliefs. I wonder if how many of you ever would say, like that man did, that the Lord was going to come and heal his child. "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." He knows that. You can't hide any of that from God. You can hide it from the pastor on Sunday morning, but you can't hide any of that from God. The Lord God omnipotent. This is where I was. I lost my track. He said, yea, but thou didst laugh. And then he asked Sarah, or maybe it was Abraham, he asked them this question: "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" What about it? Bethlehem Church, is anything too hard for the Lord? I'm going to tell you, a God that planned, in his wisdom, that planned the plan of salvation and sent his son to execute it and sends his spirit to born us again out of a state of death and sins to alive in him. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. There's another place over in Numbers where the Lord is telling Abraham, giving him some instructions, and Abraham kind of seems a little bit, you can read it in Numbers 11, he kind of seems a little bit, I don't know if I should say miffed with the Lord, but you know, sometimes God's people, let's just be honest, get a little miffed with the Lord. And Abraham, and God said, he asked Abraham this question. He said, "Abraham, is the hand of the Lord waxed short that it cannot save?" What about it? Is the hand of the Lord waxed any shorter today than it was when he said in Genesis 1, "Let there be"? You know, every time God said, "Let there be," the next phrase says, "And there was." When God said, when Jesus Christ said, "Lazarus, come forth," the next phrase in John 11 said, "And he that was dead came forth." I love that. Let me flip real quickly. I want to be very short. Let me flip real quickly back to Isaiah 50, 5, maybe. Yes. Isaiah 55, verse 8, we'll begin in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now listen, verse 10. For as the rain cometh down from heaven, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now listen, so shall my word be, God says, that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall, lost my place, I'm sorry. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is omnipotent. There is nothing too hard for him. And again, I'll tell you this. There is no way for the preacher, for the pastor, much less the visiting preacher from 400 miles away, to know all the needs of this congregation. But I know one who does, and I know he is him that has all the answers for all the problems. And let me just tell you this. I live in a world of teenagers. At home and on the job, 24 hours a day, except for the 6 hours driving here and back. Here's what I'm saying. Our young people have real problems. They have more problems than I did when I was their age. They have more, there are more challenges to them. Very rarely do I have a week go by that I don't have some teenager coming in my room and say, Mr. Hathaway, I got to talk to you about something. And sometimes they'll just be unconsolable in tears. And sometimes it's things with home, and sometimes it's things with a boy. But I'm saying that to say this. Grown-ups, let me tell you. Our young people face real-world problems to our young people, and they are just as real as our grown-up problems are to us. It's easy as grown-ups to say, oh, well, you know, that's just being a teenager. Or they're just a kid. You know, they'll grow out of it. No, those issues, those things that plague our young people's minds are just as real to them. Let me tell you something, young people. I don't have the answer, but Jesus does.
Amen.
The Lord God, omnipotent.
Amen.
And here's the kicker. You ready? The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth.
Amen.
He is on the throne today. He is not worried about a coup. He is not concerned about November. I am, a little bit. I don't know if there's a gubernatorial election in Alabama this year, but there is one in Georgia, and I'm not worried. I'm not worried because I know who's on the throne, but I am a little concerned about who's going to take that job. But no matter who the next governor of Georgia, Alabama, president of the United States in 28, no idea, little concerned about that too, not worried. Here's why we don't have to worry. Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is a kind, benevolent, loving God. He is omnipotent and he reigneth. Not just that he reigned once upon a time, not just that he's going to reign. Both of those are true. He reigned. He will reign. But he reigneth just now.
Amen.
The next phrase in the next verse says, let the people rejoice and be glad. We have a reason to rejoice and be glad because the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. Hallelujah. God bless you today is my prayer.
Thank you.